You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal podcast. I hope you guys are all doing great. Thank you to all of you out there that are continuing to support what we're doing and spreading the word and making sure everybody knows about the Paranormal Portal. We are always, the quest always continues for us. We are always looking for new shows and new ideas. So if you have an idea of your own, or if you'd love to be a guest on our show, please email us at the Paranormal Portal, or just paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. You'd think I'd know my own address, but I'm really excited tonight because we got a really cool show lined up for you, and the guests we're having on with us tonight is an incredibly accomplished paranormal investigator. And by paranormal, I mean this guy does it all. I think in modern times our definition of paranormal means ghosts, but this is a gentleman who's into the ghosts, he's into the UFOs, he's into the cryptids and Bigfoot and such, and he's got it all on the table, and he's got an incredible laundry list of appearances that on many, many shows that include the Discovery Channel, that includes Destination America, Travel Channel, History Channel. He is all over the map, but doing a hell of a job, and it's an absolute thrill to have our guest, Mr. Dave Spinks, here on the show with us. Hey, Dave, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. My pleasure.
Yes, it's really cool because, I mean, you're out there not only doing the work, getting the boots on the ground, but you're out there spreading the knowledge, too. And just in talking with you just before we are recording, I'm just thrilled to hear your philosophy and your concepts and your integrity about it all. And I think that's absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I'm just trying to share my experiences and what I've done over the years, you know, with putting some of that into books now, and trying to. Recently, I've been doing some paranormal. We call it the Paranormal Academy classes, where people who are interested in learning about the paranormal, the equipment involved, and some of the things that I do when I investigate. You know, just trying to spread the knowledge out a little bit and my experience. You know, I'm not saying I'm better than anyone else, but you know, I've done quite a bit of stuff over the years, and people want to know about it. So, you know, I'm more than happy to give them some, you know, just basic classes on some of the stuff, tell them what the equipment does, how it works, some of my investigative techniques that I've learned through law enforcement that I've applied to the paranormal investigating. Mm-hmm. and other things. You know, it's a lot of fun. I'm very passionate about this because, to me, it's some of man's greatest questions that we haven't answered yet. What happens to us when we die? Mm-hmm. Are there unknown creatures walking among us? And are we alone in the universe? You know, to me, it's kind of the, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, it's the final frontier, or the unanswered questions of some of the greatest questions that man has not really answered up until this point. And I'm just trying to find one little piece of that puzzle, man. And the journey getting there is phenomenal. And, you know, I'm still amazed to this day when I'm in a place and I'm just doing a EVP session and I get a response, an intelligent response to a question I ask on a recorder. I mean, that blows me away to this day, because you can't explain it. You just cannot explain it in most cases.
No, I agree. And I think, if anything, your long-term passion for this, I think, really speaks volumes about your commitment to the subject matter and your willingness to, you know, get out there and do the work and spread the news and the knowledge and stuff. And I really appreciate that, because I think that, and this isn't me degrading anybody or any shows or anything, but we have this kind of, I don't know if it's, you and I were talking about this a little bit before the show, but we have this kind of canned idea of what paranormal investigating means, and there's so much more to it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you have to, when you're doing this stuff, you know, it wasn't that long ago when you were either a Bigfoot researcher or a UFO guy or a haunting guy, you know, but... Mm-hmm. You know, way back when, a guy named Hans Holzer, he kind of was delving into everything, and he was one of the people I looked up to, because that's one of the first investigators I ever saw, and it was on the show In Search Of, and I had already had some experiences of my own, and that's what set me, you know, off on my trek, so to speak, trying to find out what it was that I saw and I experienced. And then I happened to watch the old Leonard Nimoy show In Search Of and saw him doing some stuff. And I was like, man, I can do that. I have a recorder. I have a cassette recorder almost exactly like that. And I started delving into it myself, you know, and, you know, he wrote books on many different topics and everything. And I kind of modeled what I do after him, you know, because I was interested in all of it. I've had experiences as a young man growing up. And numerous types of experiences, not just one side. It wasn't just a haunting. You know, what really started me in this was I had a Bigfoot encounter with my grandpa here in West Virginia on a fishing trip that we were on. And I wanted to know what the heck it was I saw, because it terrified me. You know, it changed my life. And ever since that time, you know, and then I had a different experience with my other grandpa who died. I saw him the night he died, didn't know he was dead. He was standing in my dad's bedroom, you know, my dad's house where I was staying, and there's no reason he should have been there. And I'm talking about my mom's dad, you know, so my first two paranormal experiences had to do with both my grandfathers, which was really bizarre. And, you know, so on and so forth. But, you know, when you're doing this stuff, you have to think outside the box. There's no right or wrong answer, for the most part. Mm-hmm. And, we're finding more and more that a lot of these things are interconnected, you know. There's a lot of people that are going back and doing research of old UFO cases and Bigfoot cases, and finding that, you know, when there was a rash of Bigfoot sightings in this one particular area, for example, there was also a rash of strange lights or craft seen in the sky in the same area. Wow. And people are finding that a lot of this stuff is in correlation with each other. There's also, on the flip side of that, people that are experiencing paranormal phenomena such as poltergeist activity and whatnot in their houses have also reported that they were seeing grays in their houses, and some of them reported that they were abducted during this time. So, you know, you have to take a step back out of the box, so to speak, and kind of take it all in, and, you know, it's just amazing stuff. You know, are these ETs implanting these thoughts and these things that are going on in our heads in order to manipulate us and, you know, and everything else, or, you know, what's going on here? You mm-hmm. have to just take it all in, man. It's fascinating, phenomenal stuff, and it blows me away, man. Especially, I love hearing people's encounters, their sightings, because it just validates stuff for me. You know, in my Bigfoot book, I wrote my encounter, of course, and many other people that I've interviewed throughout the state of West Virginia, and I've got state troopers. I've got one account from 5 state troopers. Wow. Now, you're talking about some people with something to lose by going out on a limb and saying, you know, this one time during the flood, we were out in this one area, and we all heard this ungodly howl in the woods, and we looked, we all drew our guns. It was so disturbing. And we saw a large humanoid type creature covered in hair running through the woods.
Oh my God.
All jumped in our cruisers and left. So, you know, when you hear accounts like that, you got to step back and say, wait a minute, man, you're talking about, besides the National Guard, these are the most heavily armed law enforcement officers in the state.
And they
were so just disturbed by what they saw, they got the heck out of Dodge, you know. So, you know, when you hear encounters like that from doctors, teachers, lawyers, law enforcement, people that have a reputation that could affect their job and their business and things like that, but they want answers because they know what they saw was real. And they want to get it out to the masses. You know, some of them don't give their names because they don't want that ridicule, but others will. And it's that's what keeps me going, you know, along with going out and conducting investigations and interviews of folks that experience things, because I get to hear their story. I get to go to the location where it happened, and I hopefully get to collect some evidence of that encounter they may have had.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I find that I think you're right. I don't think the lines get pretty blurry in all of this. And I always marvel at the fact that over and over and over, and myself included, being an experiencer of many different phenomena myself, that I hear it more and more that if a person has one kind of experience with the paranormal, they seem incredibly likely to have several others, and they're not always in the same wheelhouse. Like, you know, you might see have a close encounter with a Bigfoot. You might then have ghostly experiences that come up, or, you know, strange lights, or, you know, or whatever. And it's these phenomena are not necessarily independent of each other all the time. And perhaps that speaks to the nature of the reality we live in more than the fact that, you know, maybe it's a one size fits all kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, not everyone's crazy, I have to tell you. I mean, you know, it's just a numbers game, you know, and there is people out there that are perfectly sane that have had a life altering experience, and they want answers too, you know? And, right. You know, I often talk about how, you know, for generations now, we have been pretty much brainwashed, you know, that you have to, you know, basically based off of your family's religious beliefs or whatever, that you have to live a certain way and do a certain thing, or you're going to burn in hell if you're from the Christian, you know, side of things. Mm-hmm. And I think in my personal opinion, that was set up by old governments and along with the churches to really control people.
Sure.
And you know, really scare the living crap out of them, because, oh my God, if we don't do stuff a certain way, we're gonna burn in hell. We got to do this, and it's really a sad thing, because I think it shut us down as free thinkers. And, you know, even you know, look at Newton and all these old time people who were on the cutting edge of science, you know, astronomers and mathematicians and people that were delving into different things. They were called witches and wizards, and a lot of them were burned and hanged and everything else.
Right.
Because I think certain things were already known to certain people, and they didn't want everybody to know that, because, I mean, look at Tesla. Look what happened to Tesla.
Right.
Tesla. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, all of his papers were confiscated by the government because they wanted that information. And Tesla talked about how he communicated with aliens, you know, to get that information. And you know, it's fascinating stuff. It's, you know, another good example would be, you know, in the early 1900s, late 1800s, there was giant skeletons being found all over the United States, a lot of them right here in West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And almost overnight, the word would get out, and all of a sudden these government people would come in from the Smithsonian or government agents, and they would confiscate these skeletons and cart them off to the Smithsonian, where they are probably still down in the vaults right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, and some of them even had double rows of teeth. You know, that's, you know, and if you've ever read the Bible talks about giants that roam the earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's almost like they want to shut a lot of this history down to cover up something. You know, what are they covering up? You know, were these some sort of ETs that were on the planet at one time that they're trying to hide, you know, because, you know, a lot of scientists that are, that do believe in other things, they're going to want to test the DNA, see if it matches it up with ours and everything else. And they're not letting it happen. Why?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, you can get into some major conspiracy stuff there, you know, and so many other things. I mean, you can go so many different directions with all this stuff, and you could, and then if you got to draw it back in, you could spend literally a lifetime investigating one haunting case,
yeah.
You know, because some of these locations have so many layers of history. It's like an onion. You know, we often talk about the paranormal onion, where you got to peel back each layer to try to get the bottom of something. And then when you think you're done, you end up having more questions than answers anyway. So, you know, it can be a frustrating thing, but it's also fascinating at the same time.
It is. I agree with you because and it's been my journey as well. I mean, when I first started doing this show, I thought I had things pretty well figured out. I mean, I figured I really, really had a grasp on what was going on in a large degree. But I got to tell you, the more people I talk to, the more people that share their experiences, the more that I believe I'm learning. It's exactly right. I mean, I have way more questions than answers. And the things that I thought I had answered, I realized I wasn't even in the same ballpark, you know, and that there's so much more going on.
Oh yeah, we're always learning, you know, and you know, there's so much infinite knowledge out there, and I think we as humans, as a race, we have no clue, man, because you know, we've been, you know, let's face it, we're destroying our planet, you know, we're doing so many things wrong, but at the same time, we're progressing at great lengths in technology, but you know, there's got to be a better way to do things, and I think that at some point, we'll either have to do things better or we're going to suffer the consequences majorly, yeah. You know, but who's to say, you know, there's those theories out there that say we're just a giant DNA experiment because our DNA has been proven to change, what, like 23 or 32 times now in a short time frame. Mm-hmm. And, you know, science is advancing at just stellar rates. You know, they've already proven that there's other dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're doing some fascinating stuff. Harvard did a study recently where they actually recorded what they think is the human soul leaving the body when you die.
Oh my God. Wow.
And I've been a huge proponent and believer that it's not, you know, it's not the end when we die. Our body is pure energy.
Mm-hmm.
We just have a shell that we, you know, our body is a shell. And I think our energy transforms into something else and goes somewhere else, whether that's heaven based off of what you believe in or not. You know, make your own choice.
Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break. So don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Buckle up, we're going in.
You know, the night I saw my mom's dad in the room with me, I knew, you know, the whole story is, you know, I'll just tell you the story.
Sure.
Okay, because it's pretty fascinating stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at my dad's, middle of the night, probably 3-4 in the morning, and my grandpa that I'm talking about, he's a World War II, both my grandfathers are World War II vets. This one was real sick, you know, he smoked non-filtered Camel cigarettes, you know, like a freight train.
Sure.
He caught pneumonia when he was in the military over in Iceland, and he ended up losing like 3/4 of his lung capacity. He only had like 1/4 of a lung working. So he still chain smoked, and it got so bad to where he had to have a trach put in, and a stoma,
yeah.
and he an oxygen tube so he could breathe, and he carried a little oxygen tank around with him all the time. So, and he was so bad with cigarettes, like he would take his oxygen tube out of the hole in his throat and smoke through that hole.
Oh my God.
So, and we, you know, you knew he wasn't going to be around that much longer just because of that. And sure enough, the middle of the night, I sat straight up in the bed, and there's my mom's dad in my dad's house standing there looking at me, clear as a bell, solid. He looked really good. He had good color. And I kind of did a double take, and I rubbed my eyes, and I'm like, and I was like almost, I was right around 15, 16 years old. I said, "What are you doing here, Grandpa?" And he didn't say anything. He just smiled and disappeared right in front of my face.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, that was a weird, freaky dream. So I just chalked it up like that and went back to sleep. Well, the next day I woke up and I was really, it was really on my mind. I mean, that dream felt so real. You know, it did, something wasn't right there. So I called up to him and Grandma's house because I wanted to talk to him, you know. And my uncle from out of state answered the phone, and I said, "What are you doing there?" And he said, "No one called you yet, Dave?" And I said, "No, why?" He said, "Well, your grandpa died last night. We're coming in for the funeral."
Oh, my God.
I kind of just dropped the phone, and I was in all dumbstruck, you know?
Yeah.
And I never said anything about the dream. So after the funeral and everything, like 6 months later, a bunch of us were up at Grandma's visiting, and it was on my mind, you know, tell them about that dream. Tell them about the dream. No, they're going to think you're crazy. So I just came out at dinner and told everybody, and I said, "You guys are going to think I'm crazy, but the night Grandpa died, this happened." And I noticed several people in my family's faces all went funny, and they all had the exact same experience.
Oh, wow.
And I knew right then and there that it was like he came to say goodbye before he went wherever he was going. He was just like checking on us,
That's cool.
And I'll never forget that because it felt so real, and he looked really good, and then boom, he was gone. He just like dissipated right in front of my face. And if I wouldn't have said nothing, no one else would have said nothing, you know, and it would have just went unknown. You know, everybody in the, most people in the family had that dream, you know, quotation mark dream, and no one would have came out and said nothing.
You know,
I'm glad I did because everybody started talking about it, you know, and it was the same experience for everyone.
And that, I think that's the beauty of what we're doing, you know, in our different pursuits in the same, you know, general field, is that I think that the more people are talking, the more people will be emboldened to talk and share and learn. You know, we can learn from each other, but it always takes, you know, it's like the, you know, at the school dance, no one wants to be the first one to dance, but once somebody finally gets out there, then, you know, the floor fills. Well, I think it's the same thing for what we're doing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it wasn't that long ago either. You couldn't talk about this stuff in the public, man. You'd be labeled crazy. They'd send you to the nut house, or nobody would have anything to do with you.
Yeah.
Or, my dad's dad, he was a Baptist minister after the war for 40 years. Mm-hmm. And whenever I would ask questions about what we saw and all this stuff, he would say, "Don't talk about that, son. That's messing with demons. Don't mess with it."
Oh.
So I would get shut down immediately, but I still kept my pursuit up and was doing stuff in the local libraries, at school library, and I would read anything and everything I could get my hands on about all this stuff, you know, and I started realizing, hey, I'm not crazy. You know, other people are seeing this creature all around the world, and it's basically the same thing. It's just like people. It's different colors and different, you know, sizes and shapes and
da-da-da-da-da-da,
you know. So, you know, it is what it is, and that's, you know, if we don't talk about these things, no one will ever come out with it and keep it going because, you know, there's a lot of unanswered questions out there, a lot of historical things that we need to talk about and address, and a lot of things that are possibly coming in the future, you know?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I think that Tesla was kind of right when he was talking about when we spend the energy researching the non-physical, we'll grow more in 10 years than we have in our entire recorded history. And I think that there's truth to that, because I think that is the breadcrumbs. And I've been saying that on my show for years, that, you know, the paranormal isn't where things are broken or something glitchy happens. Those are the breadcrumbs. Those are the clues to the incredible and dynamic nature of the reality we live in. And we have to pay attention to those things, because they're demonstrations of a different kind of reality that is possible.
And it's all around us all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and, I mean, I always tell people, I said, almost everyone someone or someone in your family or one of your friends, even if you've never had experience, if you ask anyone in your close relative circle, they've had an experience they cannot explain. Mm-hmm. And the numbers in that are huge.
Yeah.
So if you just think about that, you know, a lot of people chalk it up, oh, that was just, you know, they've seen shadow figures, or they've seen this out of the corner of their eye. Oh, it was just this or that. It's always, you know, they just shoo it off as happenstance or coincidence. But a lot of times it's not. It's something that is in another realm that is mm-hmm. coming through to our reality or whatever. And they just chalk it up as that. You know, if you have an open mind, you'll be very surprised at what you will see. But if you are just a pure 100% skeptic, you're doing yourself a disservice, you know, because there are things. I'm here to tell you 100% there's stuff out there we don't understand, and it's all around us.
Yeah.
You know, people are so busy with their 9-to-5, like sheeple, you know. They got their head buried in the cell phone. They're worried about, you know, what they're going to make for dinner for the kids, or mm-hmm. they got to do this function and that function. They don't even take 5 minutes of their day to stop what they're doing and look up in the sky or look around their surroundings. You know, take it all in, man. You'd be surprised if you would take 15 minutes a day or even 15, 20 minutes a week and go outside at night on a clear night and look up in the sky, mm-hmm. you'd be surprised at what you're going to see, man. I mean, I'm here to tell you, there's some stuff flying around that is not ours.
Yeah.
I can guarantee it. So, you know, I do it all the time. I'm always out there just hanging out, because you just never know what's going to happen.
Right. No, I appreciate that. And I think you're right. And our common, our new culture, this is the technology culture. It's kind of good and bad in that it's good in that we can share information on a global scale now, and, you know, that we never could before. I always had to go through specific channels, but now we have the ability to reach around the world. But on the bad side, I think, is that it's caused us to become these automatons staring at little screens.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
we've got to find our balance. I think, you know, you agree?
Oh, absolutely. When I was a kid, we were never in the house, and if we were in the house, if you were in the house, guess what? Mom's going to put you to work. So we were, I mean, and, you know, we were outside as long as we could, I mean, until we got screamed at because it was dark. We had to come in and eat dinner, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Mom didn't want to see us in the house. You know, we played all day, every day outside,
yeah.
you know. And today kids just sit in there on their computers and, you know, they play video games nonstop and everything else. It's just very disheartening, you know, to see that.
Yeah.
But that's the world we live in today. So,
sure.
you know, I'm always encouraging kids to get outside, play, look around, you know, enjoy your surroundings.
Yeah. 'Cause
there's stuff out there.
There is. And sometimes it's really disturbing what's out there. But
yeah, that's right. it's also better to be aware of your surroundings and what's out there, too. You know, I talk to people about Bigfoot all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this thing is a nocturnal creature for the most part. It's very smart. Whatever it is, we still don't know what it is, if it's an ET, an interdimensional creature, or some long-lost ghost of a long-extinct ape species. We don't know what it is yet,
yeah.
but this thing could stand in, like, in my backyard. I live in the woods on top of a mountain surrounded by millions of acres of woods.
Mm-hmm.
This thing could stand 20 yards in my backyard behind a tree. I'd never know it was there, you
yeah.
know, and pay attention to your surroundings, you know, walk around your yard sometimes. You know, depending where you live, you know, you never know what you're going to see.
You know, and I think all of us have experienced this, and I'm sure especially if not only in your paranormal experience and research, also in your professional life when you were doing the number of things you did in your past, that old feeling of being watched. And it comes up all the time. I was in the woods walking along and suddenly, boom, it dawned on me. I was being watched. And it just, I think that kind of shows that we do have that in us somewhere. But it seems to take a hell of a lot to go through our conscious minds, from our subconscious to our conscious minds. But I think we do have the ability to really align ourselves with our natural surroundings. It's just we've kind of forgotten how.
Yeah, because of the world we live in today. But, like, you know, I always tell people, you know, they ask me what's my favorite piece of equipment, and I usually will tell them me. And they think that's funny. But it's the truth, because, you know, I grew up in the woods hunting and fishing, and I've been in my tree stand or many times, or just hiking through the woods, and then the hair on the back of my neck will stand up, and I'm sitting there saying, okay, what is watching me right now? Just like you said, you can feel it. Yeah. The more you do what I do, the more in tune you get with these type of energies. You can feel it. You know, now when I walk into any given building or whatever, a lot of times, you know, you pick up on the energy in there right away. Mm-hmm. If it's sad, if it's mad, if it's whatever, happy, you know, you can really pick up on that energy, and you can feel the heaviness in some of these locations. It's just, it feels all doom and gloom and everything else, you know. So, you know, keep an open mind. And you'll be surprised about how you pick up on things. You know, that's the thing about us humans. We only use a small, small percentage of our brain capacity, man.
Yeah.
You know, and some people are way more in tune with that. Some people can access their right side of their brain and everything else. They're very intuitive people. They have ESP. And some people have even been able to move objects with their mind.
Yeah.
So just imagine what we could accomplish as a race if we could unlock some of that stuff, you know, and be able to do those type of things. And I think that was repressed in us long, you know, many hundreds or if not thousands of years ago for whatever reason, because I think, you know, we all are very capable of doing a lot more with our minds than we are even aware of.
Yeah, exactly. I agree wholeheartedly. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break, so don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. All right, everybody, and we're back, at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up, we're going in. Because you've been at this so long, how have you seen the investigating and researching evolve through the time you've been involved in it?
Well, that's the thing, man. I mean, we really haven't progressed that much in what you see, other than technology wise.
Right.
There's some, you know, different people out there are trying different techniques and everything, different equipment and whatnot. But that's really where we're at. I mean, other than, you know, because, you know, mainstream science isn't going to accept what we do unless we can recreate it in a lab scientifically. But we all know, anyone that knows about the paranormal knows that that's why it's called the paranormal, because you can't really necessarily recreate anything in a lab when it comes to this stuff. It's, you never know what you're going to get. You could go to the same place 50 times and it'll be different all 50 times, but you're still experiencing some type of phenomena that you can't debunk as explainable. So it's very frustrating, but it's very fascinating at the same time. And it's just a shame that more mainstream scientists are just not, they're so cut and dry on stuff. But slowly but surely, you're seeing more and more of them come over, and they're starting to do experiments now. You've got some major universities involved in different things in the various paranormal fields. Mm-hmm. So it's fascinating stuff. You know, it's slowly but surely, TV has been a huge help, because now it's not, it's way more accepted. It's just out there everywhere. It's pop culture now, you know?
Yeah.
So when I first started doing this, man, you couldn't talk to nobody about it because they think you're a nutcase. So, you know, and so me and my colleagues as well, you know, we always talk about that and laugh about it, man, because, you know, what do you mean you're, you know, what do you mean you're you know, investigating ghosts and whatnot, you know, they'd be like, you're crazy, you know, so, or, you know, or on the flip side, you know, you would scare the living crap out of them and they don't want nothing to do to you, do with you, because people are really scared to death of the unknown, man. A lot of people are very, very frightened of that. Something that they, you know, that is out of their teaching and out of their norm, they can't handle it, man. You know, and I think that's a big, big deal with the government when it comes to UFOs, and they haven't disclosed. And you know, they know way more than they've ever let on. So I think that is one of their big main worries, is if they come out and say, well, yeah, we know intelligent beings have been visiting this planet for thousands of years. It would really freak some people out, you know, and that's just common sense.
Yeah. Now, I think I just had a thought. And this is the way I work, is that I usually just talk, and then ideas kind of come to me. But I was thinking about what you're talking about when you referenced the fact that science wants repeatable demonstrations or tests to be able to validate something. And I think that repeatable tests are fine when you're dealing with objects or forces in terms of physics and stuff, because they are just that. They are these pieces and parts and chemicals and whatever. But in the paranormal, we're dealing with consciousness. We're dealing with life in a different manifestation than we understand. And they may not want to play, and usually they don't. You know?
Yep, so absolutely.
It just occurs to me that that's probably a large part about why, because I've always referred to paranormal investigating as like trying to catch lightning in a bottle. It's, you don't know where, when, or why, or how. It just, things happen.
Yeah, that's a good analogy, man. I mean, that's really kind of how it is. You know, we're all going out there hoping we've got all these different types of cameras trying to capture things in the different light spectrums that the human eye can't see in, trying everything we can think of, you know, to capture proof that of things we know are going on. So, I mean, we're only limited to the type of technology we have at this point. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's a lot of new stuff coming out with thermal cameras and everything else. So, you know, at some point, you know, there's going to be, you know, I've captured some pretty phenomenal stuff over the years, full-blown shadow figures on video and still pictures, things that you just can't explain and write off as, you know, it was a car driving by and whatnot. Well, I've never seen a car that's going to make a humanoid form, a shadow figure, where you
can
see the
hands,
arms, feet, and everything else, you know, walk right by the camera. So, you know, I mean, you know, there's a lot of common sense that goes along with this, and, you know, hardcore skeptics, no matter what, you could have you could be sitting at a table and have a conversation with a ghost, capture it on camera, prove, you know, the guy, have the ghost tell you when he died, how he died, and everything else, prove it factually with paperwork, and capture it all on camera, and you're still going to have a skeptic say, oh no, that's all fake, you know. So that's what you're dealing with, you know. I mean, so it's like religion and politics. I often tell people, hey, you know, do what you do and present it the best way you can think of, you know, and be honest and have integrity and let people decide for themselves. Here it is, this is what happened. This is who, what, where, when, and why, and make up your own mind, because if they have never had an experience, they're not going to believe you.
Right.
Just like religion and politics, you cannot change people's minds. All you can do is present what you experienced, what you captured, your evidence, and present it the best way you can and let people make up their own mind, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree completely. And when you're talking about people's paradigms, they defend them viciously. Because they need that security. They need their three dimensions and their walls and their ceilings and floors. once you start stripping that away, they get a little tense.
You know, we're seeing that in the current state of this country's politics, you know.
Yeah.
Just the raw hatred of different parties and everything and all that. You know, it's just ridiculous how people, you know, you've known people for 30 years, and if you support one candidate or another, you're a piece of junk, you know, and people have lost their friendships of many years because of this.
Yeah. Even, you know, families falling apart because of it. Yeah.
It's crazy. You know, instead of working together, we're just dividing and keep dividing, you know, it's not good stuff. And that's kind of how the paranormal community is, man.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's in all genres, not just ghosts and stuff. I mean, it's in the Bigfoot world. It's in the UFO world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because everybody thinks they have the answer, and I'm here to tell you nobody has the answer at this point. Yeah. You know, so it's just a never-ending process of learning and trial and error, really. And hopefully, you know, you're capturing some decent stuff along the way. So
right. Now, do you find in today's investigators, a lot of them, it seems to me, and I could be wrong, but do you think that there's an over-reliance on tools and not enough on procedure and practices
Yeah. A lot of these, you know, you have all these different split opinions on different things, but, you know, you got some people that are very scientific minded and say all the stuff we use is garbage. It's not scientific, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But at the flip side of that, you know, how do you explain where you're using a hacked ghost box? Okay. It's just a modified radio that's scanning through channels, creating a white noise.
Mm-hmm.
And you're asking a question and you get a response
that
is factual and intelligent on that piece of equipment that was modified just for that specific purpose. You know, I've had it, you know, a lot of people are bad proponents of the ghost box. They say, oh, it's just radio bleed over. But explain this to me. Okay, I'm using a ghost box and it says my full name and cusses me up and down. Mo, mofo, I'm going to kill you, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
Why is my name happening to be coming across 15 different stations on a full sweep?
Yeah.
Of 15 different stations, and it's cussing at me using my full name.
Yeah.
You can't explain that. You cannot explain that. And it's happened over and over again, you know, and then you're getting factual names from that particular location. And, you know, what happened to Mary Jane here? She was murdered. Well, there was a Mary Jane at this location that was murdered. How do you explain that?
Right.
You can't, you know. So I think certain, you know, spirits and entities, they can utilize those radio frequencies and that noise as a means of communication with us for whatever reason. It all started with Tesla and other people early on when they were trying to create different devices, you know, the spirit phones and all, you know, the whole early on spiritual movement in this country was big, and it started in Great Britain and came over here. So, you know, a lot of different things started transpiring, and people just kind of tweaked it and worked with different ideas. And, you know, because I think subconsciously some of this stuff is buried in our minds. It was put there by something or someone.
Yeah.
And we're slowly tapping into these, you know, different sounds and sound waves and frequencies. Sound is a big part of a lot of this stuff, too. You know, even the ancients, they knew about sound, they knew about tones, they knew about, you know, different things with water and stuff, that these things are all conduits to the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they just make that up? I don't think so.
Right.
You know, they had experiences, and other people in their times were more perception, you know, they had more perception than some of the other ones, just like people today, like I was talking about earlier. Some people could tune into it, like the shamans and the witch doctors or the medicine men. They were more in tune with this type of stuff, and they taught it to their people. And slowly but surely, up until today, it's become more mainstream. It's more relevant now, and people are really paying attention to it.
Yeah, and there's so much to learn, and I like what you're talking about in that that we actually stand to learn a lot from those ancient wisdoms and those ancient beliefs. And even if they are painted sometimes in the folklore of the culture, there's always some truth to them, and there's some clue or some hint that may really help us to refine our search or maybe change our methods a bit to accommodate that, because these people survived for thousands and thousands of years, and they couldn't be wrong about everything.
That's right.
Yeah. So you are a published author as well on the subjects. How many books do you have out now? I know you've got the Bigfoot one.
Yeah, I've got four out now, and I've contributed to a few others, and I've got several more in the works. I've got the Bigfoot, West Virginia Bigfoot. I've got Real West Virginia Hauntings, Volume 1. Volume 2 hopefully will be out later this year. I've got the Willows Weep book about my haunted location that I bought in Indiana.
Wow.
And I've got Real West Virginia UFOs. out right now. And then I contributed to the Woodnock series by David Weatherly. And I contributed to another book that me, him, and Ross Allison did on paranormal West Virginia paranormal files. Another book about West Virginia hauntings that we've all investigated over the years and whatnot. So got several more books. I got some new cryptid books coming out, a new hauntings book, a couple of new hauntings books, and some other things I'm working on.
So, if you don't mind, can we get into a little bit about the Willow's Weep? I know that's an ongoing project for you, and I mean, share what you can, but that's an incredible act of bravery right there to purchase an incredibly haunted location and all of the liability that comes with that. How does that work, or are you concerned about what you may end up stumbling into on that, or help me understand?
Well, you know, when you do this kind of thing and you visit all these locations over the years, it's kind of nice to be able to say you have your own location that, you know, that's why I ended up buying this place, to study paranormal phenomena and have my own paranormal lab, so to speak, and share it with the community, you know, where we can try to do more experiments and try different means and different techniques and stuff to capture paranormal phenomena. It's a house unlike I've never seen before. I mean, it ranks up there kind of like with Amityville as far as all the craziness that's going on there. Mm-hmm. No murders that we know of, but numerous deaths and suicides in the house. Sure. And then the whole weirdness of it, you know, I just found out, confirmed, that it has a ton of Masonic symbology in it. It's built, you know, and I knew it was built in the shape of a cross. And just many investigators over the years have been attacked there physically and spiritually and even mentally as well. And the former homeowner I became friends with, she was totally done with the thing because she swears the house or something in the house tried to kill her and her husband a couple of different times. And she was just done with it and asked me if I wanted to take it over, and I did.
Well, I think it's actually brilliant for what it's worth. I mean, it's an incredible, I suppose, risk on many levels, because you are continually putting yourself in an atmosphere that could very well be dangerous. And I think that's of course a real liability with it, but you're right. I mean, that is your lab, and what a great opportunity to be able to throw any approach or any idea at it and try to substantiate or come up with new methods. That's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, that's really why I bought it, you know. And then it's, you know, I'm doing three books on it. The first book is all the known factual stuff that's occurred in the house, along with several other investigators' accounts and experiences in the house, and the former homeowner and their family members and everything else. The second book I'm calling Willow's Weep, The Investigations, where I'm taking about 25 to 50 teams. They're all going to, the ones that want to participate are going to be given a set list of things to do in the house. And then we're going to compare all those notes at the end and put it into the book to see if any of the things we did correlate. And if we can match up anything, you know, maybe this group that was here 1 month gets the same kind of response as another group that was there 3-4 months later, you know, just to see, because that's the kind of thing I think we need to do more of in the field to push it forward.
Yeah.
And you know, it can't hurt anything, so why not try it? And then, you know, there'll be a third phase where at some point I'm going to have to close, you know, get the house and have it blessed, and I want that bad energy shut down, you know, because that's just what needs to be done. You know, a lot of tragic things happened in that house to many different people. And I think there's an open portal. I'm pretty sure there was witchcraft conducted in that house at some point in time. I don't know when. And I think something very negative came into the house, or there was a doorway open that is not closed, and stuff comes in at will, in and out, you know, bad stuff and good stuff. I just think it's an open doorway at this point. And, you know, that may not be a good thing, to leave something open like that and let things come in and manipulate people. You know, no one will ever live in that house again because of I won't let it happen, number one.
Sure.
And, you know, it's basically just a paranormal laboratory right now, and that's what it's going to stay, you know, as long as I own it. And if I don't own it, it'll probably be torn down or burnt. So after it's cleansed.
Yeah.
So because it's too negative of a place.
Yeah, and I agree. And of course, anybody that's at all involved in the paranormal knows, of course, about Zach Bagans and his demon house, and he claims to have damaged his eyes by some encounter with a being in his location, and he ended up bulldozing that. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of risk involved with that, but I really respect that tenacity in order to put yourself in those situations and bring in people to look at it. And I think you're really pushing the envelope forward with this project, and I really commend you for it.
That's what I'm trying to do with it. You know, hopefully we can get enough teams that want to participate to really take a hard look at it and see what we can come up with. I'm going to have a guy named Chris Houston, who's very scientifically minded, set all that up for me and let him run it, so I can kind of take a step back out of that. So there's no people that say, well, you know, right, since you're the owner, you want to, you know, it's biased and all this. So I'll let him, you know, I'll let him run all that. He's going to come up with the whole set of instructions for folks to try, and then we're going to compile it into the book, so people can open that book up and say, oh yeah, that's cool. Look at this group and look what they got. And this, you know, and it's just going to be an hour or two out of their time during their investigation there. Mm-hmm. And then they can do whatever they want the rest of the time, you know, and they'll have a chance to be part of Willow's Weep's history, you know, by being in that book.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what we got to do as far as investigators and researchers, to try to push the field a little bit further if we can.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it's fantastic, and I know we're kind of nearing the end of our time here, but could you take a few minutes, let people know what's next for you and how to stay in touch with what you're doing?
Oh yeah, well, the first thing they could do is just go to my website, because it's got links to everything I'm doing, conferences I'll be speaking at, events I'll be speaking at. It's www.davespinksparanormalinvestigator.com. It has links to all the books I have out right now and the ones I've contributed to. So you can just click on the picture of that book and it'll take you right to Amazon where you can order it. And there's ways, if you want a signed copy, you can get one directly from me. It tells just, you know, if you want to report a sighting or an encounter on the homepage of my website, it says right on there, report a sighting. You click on the button and it hooks you up with an email and you can send it to me. And, you know, you never know what I might use in one of my books coming up. So if you have any crazy encounters, especially in West Virginia, I want to hear about them, you know, and all that. I am leaving next week to film another TV show. I can't tell you what it is. You'll just have to wait and see. I just filmed another TV show. I will tell you, it's on the Unexplained. Unexplained got way a bunch more episodes, so I'll be appearing on that show again.
Oh, fantastic.
It starts airing February 29th, so I think they got like 18 more episodes. So I'm proud to say I'll be involved with that series again this year. So, you know, a lot of cool stuff coming out, more books coming out. Just if you want to read about Willow's Weep, there's a page on the website. I'm still posting a lot of the conferences that I'll be speaking at around the country this year. I'll be at UFOCon in Orlando. I'll be at the Southwest PA conference in PA. I'll be at Gettysburg Battlefield Bash. I'll be at what else we got? We're doing a Gettysburg bus trip. Out of Southwest PA to Gettysburg for a whole weekend. That'll be a really fun trip. If you are interested in that, it's on my webpage too. The whole weekend includes a bus trip and a hotel stay, and we'll be doing some ghost hunts and ghost tours. It'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, cool.
So that's on there. I'll be at the Kecksburg event this year. I'll be at another event in Indiana, another one in Illinois. There's a ton. I haven't even got them all posted yet. So,
are you doing the International Bigfoot Conference over in Washington?
No, I'm not doing that one this year.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to be there, so I thought it'd be a great time to meet you. But if you're not going to be
there,
they
haven't asked me yet. I guess I'm not, you know.
Oh, yep. Okay. Gotcha.
You know how the Bigfoot world is, so.
Amen,
it is
brother.
What it is.
Well, I'm absolutely thrilled to have had the opportunity not only to meet you, but to talk with you and to hear your insights and what you're doing and all of the amazing things that you've been working on. It's been nothing but a great pleasure, man. Thanks so much for being here.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. Anytime you want me back, just let me know.
Yeah, hell yeah. What are you doing Tuesday? No, anytime, man. If anything comes up in your world you want to come on and talk about, just let me know, because I'll make sure there's room for you anytime you want to come.
All right. Sounds good, man. I appreciate it for having me on, brother, and have a good rest of your day.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So I hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.
Betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. gamble with other podcasts, let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.